This is Donald S. Reinhardt. I am reading from my newly written book called The Encyclopedia of the Pivot System for All Brass Instruments. This is tape number 4. The discussion is in the breathing chapter. Question number 6. What is meant by the terms tensing and locking as used in the pivot system manual? The terms tensing and locking as used in the pivot system manual refer to the point of neutrality or freezing point between two opposing forces. One force is created by the air pressure inside of the lungs, pushing downward and outward. The other opposing force is created by the diaphragm and abdominal regions, lifting in an inward and upward manner. This lifting force of the diaphragm and abdominal regions, synchronized with every initial attack, meets the opposing force, the air pressure inside of the lungs. It is at this point that tensing and locking takes place. While the air inside of the lungs is being expelled during the playing, the diaphragm and abdominal regions keep right on lifting to the conclusion of the playing breath. For example, if three people wish to visit the same floor of an office building at the same time, the logical procedure would be to make only one elevator trip, certainly not three separate trips. Likewise, if you play three detached half notes in succession on high C and on the same breath, the level of the lifting diaphragm and abdominal regions must be established the exact moment that the initial attack is executed. At this point, firmness takes over and tenses and locks. The diaphragm and abdominal region lift. The second and third high C's are merely taken over by the tongue reattacking, and a gradual, slightly greater lift is experienced to the end of the blowing. Never permit the diaphragm and abdominal regions to sag or loosen between the detached, sustained tones in the high register. The tensing and locking of the diaphragm and abdominal regions when starting to play is true in any register, but the air level varies. Question number 7. What playing advantages are acquired and maintained by the proper usage of diaphragmatic and abdominal region tension? The playing advantages that are acquired and maintained by the proper usage of diaphragmatic and abdominal region tension are: 1. A much finer all-around control of dynamics. 2. A better control of register, both high and low. 3. A superior flexibility. 4. A much greater playing endurance. 5. A greater playing consistency. 6. A greater playing finesse. 7. A finer, more fluent response. 8. A more positive attack. 9. A reduction in the amount of mouthpiece pressure used against the lips. When a young student who has never played a brass instrument before takes his first lesson, his embouchure may represent 90% of the playing, and his diaphragm and abdominal regions only 10%. As the student progresses, the breathing factor, that is the diaphragm and abdominal regions, increases in importance to such a point that the percentages mentioned may completely reverse themselves. As a general rule, the more firmness or tension that is used in the lifting process in the diaphragm and abdominal regions, regardless of the posture being employed, the lesser the mouthpiece pressure against the lips. Some players, while consciously testing this idea, find an immediate improvement in many departments of their playing. Maintaining firmness throughout the diaphragm and abdominal region area becomes increasingly important as the player's weight and age increase. Regarding relaxed playing perfection, relax does not mean collapse. Between a fortissimo, that is very loud, tone, and a pianissimo, that is very soft, tone, the difference in the firmness in the diaphragmatic and abdominal region tension must be nominal. All too many performers are entirely too loose and flabby in the diaphragm and abdominal region area when they are playing softly. It is far better to be too firm than too loose. To carry out this idea of firmness or tension in the proper manner, your attention must be given to maintaining correct posture, especially when sitting down to play. Correct breathing with a faulty posture is an impossible achievement. Question number 8. What is a good practical method for the so-called lazy breather to adopt so that his diaphragm and abdominal regions will always act in the proper manner while playing the upper register of his instrument? The lazy breather should visualize someone hitting him in the diaphragm and abdominal regions at the very moment that the tone in the upper register is being attacked. This will synchronize the action of the lift between the arched tongue and the diaphragm and abdominal regions. Another method is to tell the student to clasp his hands behind him and to start jumping across the floor. At the very moment that the jump is executed, he will notice an inward, upward lift of great firmness in his diaphragm and abdominal regions. This also will coordinate the action of the lift between the arched tongue and the diaphragm and abdominal regions. If several attacks are executed in succession on the same breath, on the same upper tone, the level of the tongue arch and the level of the diaphragm and abdominal regions takes over from this point. It must be borne in mind that the diaphragm and abdominal regions are ever lifting to the conclusion of the playing breath. This principle must be carried out, regardless of the mode of posture being utilized during the performance. Question number 9. What is meant by the terms overbreathing and underbreathing? Overbreathing and underbreathing are two unnecessary brass playing evils which will positively prevent the player from mastering the all-essential playing relaxation. Both of these enemies of correct brass playing may be prevented or eradicated by diligently studying and practicing the timed breathing procedures given later in this chapter. Overbreathing is an amateurish breath-playing practice that is often carried well into the performer's professional career. It means that regardless of the particular phrase being played, the type of articulation being used, the dynamics being employed, or the register involved, the player is forced to expel surplus air at the conclusion of the musical passage. Because of the serious physical impediment that overbreathing invariably produces, the player finds it impossible to master any form of relaxed playing. Although this playing fault may be found among any cupped mouthpiece brass instrument performers, trumpet and cornet players are usually the chief offenders. No doubt this is because their instruments require more air pressure than the remaining lower-pitched brasses. Underbreathing is also no respecter of an amateur or professional status. As the word suggests, the player is short-winded and always gasping for air. Regardless of the phrase being played, the type of articulation being used, the dynamics being employed, or the register involved, the player is forced to gasp for air at the conclusion of the musical passage. Through this playing weakness, the performer is unable to master any form of playing relaxation. Although all brasses may be guilty of this fault, the lower brasses are the chief offenders. This is due to the fact that they require less air pressure, but more air quantity. Question number 10. Do you think that more players overbreathe than underbreathe? It has been my observation that many more players overbreathe than underbreathe. Too many performers who are unschooled in the art of correct breathing, the overbreathing vice particularly asserts itself in the upper register of the instrument. While it is possible for any player to suffer from this common fault, the higher brasses, that is trumpet, cornet, and French horn, are the most frequent offenders. It must be borne in mind that the higher the note being played, the greater the air pressure, but the lesser the air quantity being consumed. The lower the note, the lesser the air pressure, but the greater the air quantity. Some of the determining factors as to why more players overbreathe than underbreathe are based upon: 1. Their particular stage of development on the instrument. 2. The nature of their particular instrument, all brasses included. 3. The bore and response of their particular instrument and mouthpiece. 4. The fact that they have not received instruction in correct breathing. 5. The fact that they have not received instruction in timed breathing. 6. The fact that they confuse air quantity with air pressure. 7. The dynamics involved during their playing. 8. Their improper method of tonguing and attacking. 9. The fact that they are playing contrary to their physical type. 10. The fact that they lack confidence in other departments of their playing. 11. The inferior acoustics of the room or hall in which they are playing. 12, the amount of lip compression that they use during their playing. Question number 11. What are some of the common playing evils that are brought on by overbreathing? Some of the most common playing evils that are brought on by overbreathing are: 1, a general lack of confidence throughout the playing. 2, dizziness, lightheadedness, spots before the eyes, and so forth. 3, strained neck muscles. 4, strained cheek muscles. 5, a swollen embouchure formation. 6, a complete loss of high register, if any. 7, excessive mouthpiece pressure against the lips. 8, inability to relax. 9, a forced sound. 10, variations in tonal timbre. 11, limitations in the playing dynamics. 12, a bumpy inferior flexibility. 13, faulty insecure attacks. 14, faulty control of articulation. 15, sluggish, uneven tonguing. 16, faulty control of intonation. 17, limitations in embouchure development. 18, lack of synchronization of the basic playing factors. Question number 12. What are some of the most common playing evils that are brought on by underbreathing? Some of the most common playing evils that are brought on by underbreathing are: 1, a general lack of confidence throughout the playing. 2, a thin nasal sound. 3, a quiver in the sound. 4, a general sharpness of pitch. 5, inability to fill the instrument. 6, inability to relax. 7, limitations in the dynamics. 8, variations in tonal timbre. 9, faulty, insecure attacks. 10, faulty control of articulation. 11, lack of coordination in the basic playing factors. 12, limitations in embouchure development. Question number 13. What is meant by the term timed breathing? Timed breathing is the art of inhaling the exact amount of air required for the particular phrase to be played, regardless of the dynamics or the range involved. In other words, when a phrase has been completed, the player should have attained the identical point of lung inflation which he had enjoyed prior to the inhalation for that phrase. Remember, the lungs are never completely empty, even after what you may think is a complete exhalation. The lungs always retain some air to prevent their collapse. Thus, when you start to execute the inhalation for the particular passage, your lungs are not completely empty, but rather partially inflated. At the completion of a playing phrase, therefore, the player's lungs should be back to the exact stage of inflation at which the inhalation commenced. In our early days of grammar school, when the subject of reading was such an ordeal to all of us, we were striving subconsciously to time breathe our literary phrases. Our initial attempts at reading aloud were accompanied by a gasping for breath, that is, underbreathing, or an exhaling of surplus air, that is, overbreathing, so that our reading was very halting and uneven. As our confidence increased, our reading became smoother and more rhythmical, and our ability to time breathe came into its own. Today, we time breathe our reading of all literature, whether we realize it or not. It becomes quite evident as to why we must adopt this form of perfect breathing for our brass playing. Time breathing makes it possible for the player to develop and maintain the vital synchronization of the physical playing factors. This makes our goal of relaxed perfection while playing definitely possible in the not too distant future.
Question number 14. What is the proper method to use to master timed breathing? Or will it be acquired naturally? Since our finest brass instrument performers do not overbreathe or underbreathe, it is quite obvious that they employ the timed breathing principle. In some cases, since nature has led them to this perfect inhalation, they have been completely unaware of its presence. On the other hand, many players were less fortunate. For them, the art of timed breathing was only mastered first by a conscious realization of the factors involved, and second, by putting the entire principle into practice throughout their playing. While learning to time breathe, several factors must be borne in mind. Number one, that the lower the phrase being played, the lesser the air pressure used, but the greater the air quantity. Number two, that the higher the phrase being played, the greater the air pressure used, but the lesser the air quantity. Number three, that both the dynamics and the type of articulation being used may have a direct bearing on both air quantity and air pressure, regardless of the register of the instrument. Use the metronome with all timed breathing drills. Set it at 60 and use this as your beat for the counting of quarter note values. Play the first two measures of the 4-4 ballad, Going Home, from the New World Symphony by Dvorak. Use a legato or cantabile style for each two measures. Start the melody on a low concert B flat. Since this is to be used strictly as a drill, the note values must be very precise. The particular dynamic suggested at the beginning of the drill must be carried out to the very end of the phrase. This means that no musical crescendos or decrescendos must be tolerated. Play the first two measures pianissimo, that is very softly, on one breath. Make certain that you do not overbreathe or underbreathe. Regardless of the number of times that you repeat this drill, the mouthpiece must be removed from your lips at the conclusion of every second measure. Before making a repeat, always stop, think, and take inventory. Your lung inflation at this point should be the same as it was prior to the inhalation. If you notice any overbreathing or underbreathing, adjust yourself accordingly during your inhalation for your next playing. Repeat the entire procedure given in the two previous paragraphs. Use the dynamic level of a mezzo forte, that is, moderately loud. Do your very best to prevent overbreathing and underbreathing. After you have adjusted your inhalation for the mezzo forte level of dynamics, move on. Repeat the same procedure, but this time play fortissimo, that is very loudly, and keep right on repeating until your inhalation adjustments have been perfected. Do not waste time by rushing through this very important study and practice. When you feel that you have accomplished the timed breathing drills with the three prescribed dynamic levels, pianissimo, mezzo forte, and fortissimo, in the lower register, that is starting on the low concert B flat, move the entire procedure one octave higher, that is, starting on the middle concert B flat. Notice the increase in the air pressure and the decrease in the air quantity. Adjust your inhalation accordingly until you do not overbreathe or underbreathe for your phrases at the particular level of dynamics. Perseverance is a virtue at this point. Move on only when you have given it your very best. If your register permits, that is, includes the high concert B flat, then continue by starting on the high concert B flat. This means that the entire procedure is now to be played one octave higher than given in the previous paragraph. Your study and practice at this point becomes quite strenuous. Therefore, plenty of rest periods are advised. Notice the increase in the air pressure and the decrease in the air quantity. Remember, at the conclusion of each and every phrase, your lung inflation should be the same as it was prior to the inhalation. Make the necessary inhalation adjustments so that all the required dynamic levels will concur with the timed breathing requirements. Up to this point, we have taken the low, middle, and high registers by working out the three dynamic levels, pianissimo, mezzo forte, fortissimo. On each before moving on to the next register. This brings out the air pressure and the air quantity factors in relation to the various registers, and the air velocity factor in relation to the different dynamics. Some players confuse air quantity with air velocity. Therefore, the air velocity is mentioned very sparingly at this point. Return to the very beginning, but this time play the low register, timed breathing drill, pianissimo. Notice how the ratios of the air pressure and the air quantity factors are altered while ascending. If your high register permits, carry out this same pianissimo procedure. Return to the middle register with the same level of dynamics in mind. Conclude this by playing the original two measures in the low register in the same soft dynamics. Remember to stop every two measures of playing to make the necessary inhalation compensations so that you do not overbreathe or underbreathe. Your lung inflation at the end of each and every phrase must be the same as it was prior to your inhalation. This is your goal. The entire pianissimo pyramid, which you have just concluded, terminates the pianissimo cycle. For future reference, this procedure will be known as a timed breathing pyramid. Now practice the entire timed breathing pyramid, mezzo forte, that is moderately loud. Do not hurry through this important study and breathing procedure. Finally, play the timed breathing pyramid, fortissimo, that is very loud. When you become more experienced in the art of timed breathing, do not remove the mouthpiece from the lips at the end of each phrase. Simply execute a normal mouth corner inhalation and continue. Always make certain that you do not underbreathe or overbreathe so that your lung inflation balance is constantly maintained. After several weeks of diligent study and practice on the prescribed timed breathing procedures, choose a four measure cantabile, that is ballad phrase, and work it out in the identical manner. Do not become discouraged with your improvement, as many players had to practice this daily for several months before they experienced the many benefits from this rigid assignment. the proficiency of many players was so improved by the two-measure and the four-measure routines that they continued by going into eight-measure phrases. Many of them, however, found this impossible in all but the high register with limited dynamics. If your register is limited, omit the high phrases for the present. During practice, you may use any cantabile that is ballad-style phrase of your choosing, but make certain that it covers less than one octave. Consciously strive to time breathe all your playing, because to gain a little is to gain a lot in this respect. The mastery of time breathing is a must in modern brass playing. Question number 15. At what point in the student's career should the instructor introduce timed breathing? Timed breathing is undoubtedly a very advanced subject. Therefore, it should not be introduced by the instructor until the student has conquered most of the other playing technicalities. Taking in the exact amount of air to be utilized during the playing is intended to assist in perfecting both physical and musical finesse. It is to the student's benefit, however, to have the teacher comment on the evils of overbreathing and underbreathing from time to time. Question number 16. What is the best method for increasing the player's lung capacity without creating the overbreathing vice? While lung capacity is being enlarged, the playing sensations during the performance on the instrument tend to become entwined with the overbreathing vice. Therefore, the best method for increasing the player's lung capacity without creating the overbreathing difficulty must be accomplished without the instrument or the mouthpiece. This lung expansion drill should be practiced outdoors while walking. Inhale for the duration of 7 normal walking steps. Exhale for the next 7 steps. Practice this diligently for 1 week, or until it can be accomplished in a relaxed manner. Then add 2 more steps to the inhalation and 2 more to the exhalation. Over a long period of time, work this up to 20 steps for the inhalation and 20 for the exhalation. Never work on a greater number of steps until you have accomplished the lesser number with ease. Above all, this must be accomplished without straining. After several months of golf, I was able to accomplish 25 steps for the inhalation and 25 for the exhalation, and feel quite relaxed about it. Remember, I am referring to normal walking steps. Do not cut corners by making your steps faster simply to fan your ego. Question number 17. Is there any harm in practicing lung expansion exercises while playing? Yes, because the student's playing sensations are involved. He may expand lung capacity, but at the same time, he also develops the overbreathing habit. To prevent the overbreathing vice from taking hold, all lung expansion drills should be accomplished without the instrument or the mouthpiece, as specified previously. Question number 18. Is it ever correct to resort to any form of nose breathing while playing? In certain correctional procedures, nose breathing often becomes necessary for short periods of time during the player's career. Performers who unfortunately develop a floating or a drifting embouchure, that is, the mouthpiece shifts its position upon the lips, often find that the temporary use of nose breathing tends to stabilize the mouthpiece placement position upon their lips. The mouthpiece position upon the outer embouchure must be retained so that the proper sensations may be developed for both the placement and the playing. Nose breathing also temporarily eliminates the mouth corner stretch used for the normal playing inhalation. Therefore, various adjustments and compensations may be made to reduce any abnormal mouth corner stretch. Sometimes, players utilize nose breathing for the so-called sniff breath, that is, short, rapid inhalations inhaled through the nose. This form of rapid air intake is used for fast but lengthy staccato passages, because it is possible to prevent any rhythmic interruptions in this manner. Many fine performers have developed this form of rapid inhalation to serve as a means to an end in certain awkward passages where any form of normal inhalation would create an obstacle. It is not advisable, however, to use any form of nose breathing for ordinary playing, except in remote cases. Question number 19. What do the terms second wind and second endurance mean, and how may they be applied to brass playing? The terms second wind and second endurance are generally associated with track performers who are engaged in the sport of running. When a track star feels that he is nearly exhausted, his nerves have become numbed or desensitized. His second wind or second endurance is a feeling of revived freshness, which commences when his subconscious reflexes take over. Many brass players have experienced this physical phenomenon during lengthy continuous engagements. They have often asked me, would there be any objection if I were always to perform during my second wind period? If the player would continue his practicing to a point where his second wind or his second endurance commences, and then begin a professional engagement with his subconscious reflexes, his all-around playing finesse would suffer. players who are called on to perform lengthy continuous engagements invariably play the latter part of their performance on their second wind. For example, the circus band performer must develop and maintain a tremendous physical playing stamina to fulfill his performance requirements, whereas a symphonic brass player, that is the opposite extreme, must acquire the greatest possible control of a delicate musical finesse. As a general rule, therefore, when the endurance demanded is very great, a certain amount of physical, musical finesse, or control will suffer. Conversely, when a high degree of symphonic finesse is a basic requirement, the endurance factor plays a lesser role. Consequently, it is well to give the second wind or reflex playing earnest consideration whenever the endurance is of prime importance. This is Donald S. Reinhardt. I am reading from my newly written book called The Encyclopedia of the Pivot System for All Brass Instruments. This is the end of tape number 4. I will continue on tape number 5.